The ones that's not here today.
Where is her?
Up in Carolina, she's still kind of having a hard time.
She's here.
I'm going to do this for you, Carolyn.
Amen. Thanksgiving, a child of God.
Yes. Good song, Sharon. Thank you, honey.
That's me.
Amen.
We can
go
sing one. When you go sing one.
You used to sing all the time.
Yeah. What's wrong?
You're winning.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
What about you? We haven't heard you sing in a long
time. I know.
Well, get up and
sing.
My last move, glory to God.
That was a joy there.
Oh yeah. And when I heard that banjo right there in the beginning, I knew I was going to like that song right off the bat.
You're a banjo fan,
aren't you? I am. My grandfather used to take a banjo, bring that thing to life. I think it was a four string. It was really old. I do know that. But I asked him, I said, Papa, Ed, show me how to play that. And he'd hang it up every time. And after I'd done bought about five banjos and listened, I don't know how many self-help videos, I know why I hung it up now. It's kind of like Annabella. She just picked it up and started playing.
Yeah.
Andy Watson, he said, I bought it, but I couldn't play it, so I put it in the closet. She said, you could if I give it a try. Dad, he said, help yourself, honey. She just went to playing. I really enjoyed them being here.
Yeah.
Every time I hear a banjo, I think about Annabella.
Yeah.
And she just, I was expecting, you know, to kind of struggle. I mean, she went to town on that thing. Hallelujah. I like it on that fashion. Amen. All right, we got the 4th of July weekend here, and a lot of things going on, but one of them I want to mention that you ought to put forth a little effort to see a movie. It's going to be released July the 4th. It's called The Sound of Freedom. Just to give you an idea how powerful a movie that this is, they had two movie critics to preview this movie. One of them wanted to remain anonymous. The other one allowed his name to be mentioned. His name's Mel Gibson. And Mel, he's pretty bold, pretty blunt when it comes to giving his opinion about stuff. He broke down into tears when he saw this movie called The Sound of Freedom, and it's about child abuse and children being sold into sex trafficking. Mel Gibson commissioned himself. He's going all over the place trying to put finger in the face of people that's guilty concerning the truth brought out in this film. Amen. He's gone to Hollywood, knocked on doors, and told them, kind of like John the Baptist told King Herod, ain't lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He's went to Washington. He went to the Pope. I'm just telling you, this is a pretty powerful movie. I'm not promoting Mel Gibson, but I would encourage you to go watch this movie. Mel Gibson's the one that made the movie The Passion of Christ. Me and Sister Bonnie was talking about watching that movie, and boy, it really does move you. But this movie moved Mel Gibson, and I do want to see it myself. Going to be released July the 4th. They wanted to release it on July the 4th because they want these children to be set free. You know, we celebrate our independence and our freedom July the 4th, and they purposely wanted it released on July the 4th. And hopefully the outcome of this movie will be that people will say, we're not going to do that no more. This has got to stop. One of the reasons so many crimes are going on in our country is we've not been properly informed. Right. Most of us, like me, too lazy to read up on things. But we will watch a movie. We will, maybe see something, you know, that catches our eye. Kind of like that burning bush that Moses, God used to get Moses' attention.
Yeah.
This is kind of like that. I hope you put forth effort to go see this movie. We've got a lot of sick people out today that would be here if they could. We're going to remember them in prayer here in just a second. But we're going to be preaching out of Mark chapter number 2. I got this message this morning. I'll just be honest, we'd have been kind of lean this week. And I was a little bit concerned about what we set the table with this morning. I always like to seek the Lord. I just don't want to come over here. I will. Don't get me wrong. I will preach precept upon precept. I will, like Paul told Timothy, preach the word. I will do that.
Yeah.
But I really like it when God gives you a message.
Amen.
And I got this message this morning, so it's about as fresh as you can get a message. Amen. But it's in Mark chapter number 2. We'll read them first 12 verses there. And we'll do our best to deliver this message like God gave it to us.
Yeah.
I do believe this message may be bigger than even I anticipate. And it may go into a two-part message. I don't know. I'll let the Lord lead in that. But we're going to read these first 12 verses here of Mark chapter number 2. And says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he, talking about Jesus, preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? When it's easier to say unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Here's the key verse right here. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We'll stop right there. We're preaching today on getting people to Jesus. We're going to go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for what we've just read, for what we felt, Lord, even while I was reading it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Sister Sharon, Brother Patrick singing this morning, Lord. I thank you for this little church, Father, got so much talent in it. Yeah. Brother Jerry, Lord, got up here with Aunt Carolyn, led us, Lord, in the songs, and Sharon playing the piano, and people shouting. Lord, people, Lord, praising God, we thank you for that, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for this little church, Lord, that's so rich in the things of God. I pray, God, Lord, you bless this service today. We got a lot of people out sick, Lord, that are watching by way of the live stream. Thank you for Brother Ed being faithful, Lord, in that ministry. Lord, I don't know what, Lord, the circumstances on all of them, but we want to mention all of them, Father. I pray for Sister Carolyn. Lord, she's recovering from surgery. Pray, Lord God, you would heal her and help her, Lord, and bless her, Father. Pray for Tammy this morning, not feeling well at all, according to Brother Jerry. We pray for Tammy, Lord, you're the great physician. Lord, you're the Lord God that healeth us. Lord, sometimes you just speak the word and we're healed. I pray for Sister Tammy. I pray for Sister Rita this morning. I don't know her circumstances, Father, but we pray for her, God, this morning. Pray for her, Joe. Pray for Eric. Pray for Sister Joanne. Pray, Lord, Father, for Brenda. Lord, here this morning, Father. Lord, been having problems with her neck. Pray for her. I pray for Sister Sue Bone, Brother Denny. I pray, Father God, Lord, this morning for, Lord, as Carol and Larry and Serenity. And Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, for Leroy. I pray for Mark and Kay this morning. Lord, pray for Kay's sister, Cheryl. Pray for Derek. Pray for Little Lake and River. Pray, Lord, Father, for Mark's two sisters, Tammy and Patty and Bonnie. Patty's daughter, Denise. Pray for her. Pray, Lord, Father, for Kevin. Bonnie's always requesting prayer for him. I think he's got leukemia. We pray for him. Thank you for Bonnie. Feeling better here today. Yes. And, Lord, we pray for the terrible news that we heard about from the Spray family. I pray, Lord, Father, for James and Star. Pray for James Jr. Lord, pray for Jordan and Casey. Lord, that little infant, Lord, done graduated this life, gone to heaven. Like Brother Patrick's son, Lord, we'll be happy up there. No more tears. No more moving. Sure we'd be good, Lord, to be there even right now. Oh, Lord, bless, I pray today. Help, Lord, our sick. Help, Lord, Father, those that we're missing, Lord, being in church. We pray for them, God, to make an extra effort, Lord, to be in the house of God. Bless, Lord, your name here today and your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Had something I wanted to mention. I should have mentioned it before I prayed there. Oh, I remember it now. This Wednesday night, it's been quite an undertaking. But this Wednesday night, we're going to be teaching on eternal life. And it's pretty controversial. A lot of people out there got a lot of opinions. We're just going to go with the Word of God. But we taught last Wednesday night on truth. I can't believe how many times that message has been already downloaded. Yeah. And how many people have responded to it. Yeah. But this Wednesday night, we're going to be teaching on how you can know that you cannot lose your salvation. It's pretty good to know.
Yeah.
And I used to be one of them. I was dogmatic about you could lose your salvation. But upon reading my Bible through 20 times, I realized I was wrong. God was right.
Yeah.
But if you want to know about how safe you are, how kept you are, how the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep, you come on Wednesday night. I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to show you there's no way you can miss how saved you are, how sealed you are by the Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you, Lord,
that Spirit
Jesus.
Of promise. I'll just tell you this. A lot of people won't touch this. Oh, Brother Eddie, I'm not really looking forward to what is going to come upon me for teaching the truth, but I'm going to do it. But anyway, you pray about that. You listen in on it. If you can be here, you come Wednesday night. We're going to take the Bible and show you what a blessing it is to know that you got eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're preaching on getting people to Jesus. These scriptures that we've read right here, they tell us about one that's, pictures a sinner. He can't help himself. He's got to have somebody to help him. Brenda, and he's got four good friends. Born of four. Boy, the Bible said there is a friend that's closer than a brother. It says he that hath friend must show himself to be friendly. This fellow must have been pretty friendly. He had four good friends. And as a sinner, they can't help themselves. They need somebody to help them. I mean, that Ethiopian eunuch there in the book of Acts, Bonnie, he just come from Jerusalem. They didn't help him. He's on his way back. He's over the queen, over all of her state. And he's got him a Bible. And he's reading that Bible. And God has told Philip to go down there and join himself to this Ethiopian eunuch, Brother Mitchell. And he comes up there and he's reading his Bible.
That's right.
And he said, you know, preachers are there terrible anyway. Understand what thou readest. And that Ethiopian eunuch, he's an honest man. He said, how can I accept some man? God, he needed some help, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
He began this same scripture. He's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53.
Yeah.
He began this same scripture, Brother Ed. And he preached unto him Jesus, James.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to preach about Jesus.
Right.
I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on tonight, but there's a good likelihood I'm going to preach it that Jesus showed up. Amen?
Hey.
But we'll let the Lord lead on that. But when he preached to him Jesus, man, I'm telling you, that word is powerful. It's quick,
yes,
powerful.
Yes.
It's sharp and intuitive and sword. Hey, that Ethiopian eunuch, buddy, he got some help. He said, hey, here's some water. What does hinder me being baptized? I might struggle baptizing Patrick back there, but I got you back now. Amen. Hey, there must have been a pretty good sized body of water there. I don't know how big this Ethiopian eunuch was. I don't know how big Philip was, but the Bible said he baptized him, and I'm telling you what, the Spirit caught Philip away, and then he opened you, he went on his way rejoicing, glory to God.
Yeah, right.
Well, here we got a lost man.
Right.
He's needing some help.
Come on.
Yeah.
And you know, I needed some help.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give my testimony today, but I am going to go a little further than my testimony of what God done when he got away and he went saved. But anyway, these four guys here, they had quite a work set out for them here to do here. Let me say this. We are his witnesses, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are his ambassadors, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We have his treasure in these earthen vessels. It's okay, pour out a little, let you go. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Pour out a little.
That's right.
We went up on the...
Amen.
On the interstate yesterday, was going to hold signs. Nine said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But you know, them lightning bolts and that rain hit us. I'd have been sweating all my life. But I held it for a little while. Finally, I tell you, I had that shirt on, Brother Ed, you gave me, and it was sloppy wet. And it worked pretty good for a little while, but finally I realized even with that big cowboy hat I had on, I didn't tuck my tail head to the house. So we gave it up. But what we're trying to do, was trying to help people know that they need to be saved. And I wasn't there hardly in at all. And a car come by, and there was a lady in that car, and she sat down that horn. I said, amen, glory to God. We got to pour a little out every now and then. We got to go where they're at every now and then. But in verse number 1, if you'll notice, it said, and it was noised.
Mm-hmm.
And noise was that Jesus was in the house.
Yeah.
Boy, I thank God for that good vacation Bible school we had.
Yes, Lord.
That was a worthwhile effort.
Yeah, it was.
All you women that labored so hard,
yeah,
done such a good job. Simple brought little Tam over here. Boy, I watched little Tam. He'd run that way, and he'd run to Thomas right with him. They was running back and forth. Man, that didn't mean nothing to us, but that was the world of them heads somebody could run with. They run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they just were having a ball. And if that wasn't enough, when we got that big slide, that water bouncy house with a slide on the end of it, I looked, and here was Leroy with Tatum laying on her. And she come down, went completely on the water, had a little Tatum up, and he was so happy. But listen, I want you to know, we got to make some exceptions every now and then. There needs to be a little noise every now and then to get Jesus, get people in the house of God. And they need to know there's burning fish on the fire, glory to God. I don't want to go to church and feel like I'm in a funeral home, Brother Ronnie. No. I want to go to church and get a little bit. I'm not talking about a happy meal. It didn't make me happy. I'm not talking about a little snack. I'm not talking about chicken nuggets. I'm talking about bread and fish on the fire, glory to God. But hey, it was noise abroad.
Yeah.
They didn't have Facebook back then.
No.
They didn't have live stream, and they didn't have text, and what's that? What's that? We're at FaceTime. Somebody went there and said, "Hey! Jesus is in there! Here they come! Let us stampede, glory to God."
Yeah,
I'd like to see some of that. I'm telling you, buddy, now the noise was that Jesus was in the house. You know, today he's knocking on the door of the churches asking if he'd come in, like it's mentioned there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And you know, most churches of our day, Jesus, he's not in the house. I'll just tell you right now, flesh is in the house with tickling ears. Hey, I'm telling you, buddy, there ain't no sound doctrine. There ain't no move of God, I'm telling you. When Jesus is welcome, you'll feel a little something. We had Brother Charles come over here one time. I think it's homecoming. One of his ladies got out of the car up there in the parking lot behind me. She's out there shouting. I thought something wrong. I thought a snake or something. I went out there and said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I feel the presence of God out here." I said, "Well, praise the Lord. Come on in. We got some more." But you know what? That feeling. Somebody said, "Don't go on feelings." That woman I mentioned there in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Had that issue of blood?
Yeah.
She felt that she was healed.
Right. Yeah.
There's a little feeling. I felt a little something when God saved me.
Man.
I didn't have no more condemnation.
Right.
I was feeling kind of guilty. And the guilt turned into peace, and the joy of being saved was so wonderful. I wish I could go through it again.
That's right.
Amen. Said they say, "I fly away," it's all I can do, keep flying away. I'm telling you right now, it's wonderful, amen. But you feel a little something when you get in the presence of God. I'm telling you, boy, I like the Bible says in Psalm chapter 8, verse 30. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Come on, Brother Eddie. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, I like to feel a little something. And I like to taste a little something. Glory to God. Hey, listen, you got the noise there in verse number 1. Notice there in verse number 2. You got the no room.
Yeah.
Verse number 2. Now, boy, I'd like to have that problem. I would to God we had to kick all four walls out.
Yeah.
Oh my, Brother Ed talking about that in the Baptist room right here. I'm all for it. I like whoever put this up there. I wish we did the whole church in this. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about the cross, glory to God. Hey, I like having the cross behind me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, thanks to the cross. Yeah. Paul said, "God forbid I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.
Blessing,
oh, what a blessing it is, though you've been to the cross.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, boy. Laid my sins down, took up His righteousness. Hey, I'm a new creature, Sister Faye. I'm not the man I used to be. I might look like him, but I sure ain't him. I don't even remember much about him. I just know this. He's miserable. I know this. He was misinformed. Hey, there was some misinformation before I got saved. But when I got saved, it all cleared right up, Sister Brown. I got it firsthand. Man, I went over to the Baptist church telling them I got saved because I got saved at home. The door, and they said, "You got saved, didn't you?" They said, "It looked like a white bug, Brother Ronnie." They could tell a little bit of difference in the countenance of this man, this preacher here today. I'm telling you, get Jesus on the inside, He'll show up outside somewhere. It won't take you long, amen. But I opened that door to say, "I got saved," and they said, "You got saved, didn't you?" Oh, it sure does make a difference. It's well with my soul, thanks to Him.
Yeah.
Oh, got my heart fixed, thanks to Him. But that no room problem. I wish we had that problem today in the churches of the Lord God. Yeah. But sometimes there's no room for Jesus in our churches. God help us to always make room for Jesus here.
Right.
I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not, but I try my best to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care if you sing 20 songs, if God's in it, I'm in it.
That's right.
I don't care if I don't get to preach. I'm okay with that, as long as God is in what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, it did please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Yeah.
Hey, and God's into preaching. I'll tell you right now, He calls men to preach. I'm one of them. I remember the day He called me, and I didn't understand it then, and I don't understand much about it now. But Paul said, if I do this thing willingly, I'll receive a reward. Yeah. But he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I don't want to be a woe. I want to be a welcome. I want to be a well done. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, there wasn't no room. Oh. Also, look down there in verse number 3. You got a need. You got the noise in verse 1. You got the no room, verse 2. And you got the need here mentioned, verse 3. They come unto Him. Now, we're preaching today about getting people to Jesus. If you'll notice, they're bringing one.
Yeah.
And I think we'd all strive to do what these did.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Carter, I think it was Carter that told his mother, Ashley, he said, there's a church, Mama. We can go over there and try it out.
Yeah.
Next thing we knew, Ashley showed up over here with Carter and Keaton, I think that's his name. Two little boys showed up here. What a blessing that was. They showed up at Vacation Bible School. But that little boy Carter said, Mama, there's a church. We could try that one, Mama. You know, I thank God for that little boy pointing out this little old church. They showed up over here, been a blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, my little Thomas, he's always saying, I love church. He said, go to church? I'm telling you, buddy, them little children, thank God for them, amen. I don't mind them getting rowdy. I don't mind if I have to hold one in my hand while I'm preaching. You bring them, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, buddy, here come four. They're bearing one. They're trying to get him to Jesus. Glory to God. You never know what God's going to do.
That's right.
Sometimes I look at things and I think, you know, maybe I ought to say something. Maybe I ought to do something, but I find out about every time. If I'll just keep my mouth shut, God will show me what He's doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes me a little while to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I like it when God gets in it. Amen.
Amen.
I like it when God's got the preeminence. I like it when He's got the liberty to do whatever He wants, however He wants to do it. I know we've got it cut and dry. I know, you know, three songs and then get up here, you know, and preach and snort and holler and scream. But I'll tell you right now, I like it when God gets in it. Amen. They're carrying one. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 22, he said, I made all things to all men that I might by some means save some. When I held that sign yesterday, I could see the cloud, and I told the guy with me, Steve Pruitt, I said, Steve, you see that rain right yonder in the trees? He said, yeah. I said, it ain't going to be long. It's going to be right here. And boy, by the time I got that out, I mean, with frog, ground, and flood, we're sitting there still trying to hold them signs. Finally, I have to admit, you know, there's some people that saw us standing in the rain that they may say, hey, there's something to that thing. Look at them boys. I'm telling you, back when they put people to death, hey, I'm telling you right now, they spoke volumes of those standing around.
Yeah.
They said, boy, they had something worth dying for, amen. But they're determined, Brother Ed, they're determined they're going to get this guy to Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Now, you got verse 4, the never give up. Now, I know most Baptists, when they find out they couldn't get in for the press, they say, well, we'll come another time. Maybe we'll be able to come next week. I want you to know these boys wouldn't be denied. When they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, They uncovered the roof where he was. You ever heard anybody say, if I come, they'd have to put a new roof on? Listen, Cain, they had to put a new roof on.
Yeah.
You've heard them, you know, if I come over, the roof fall in. Well, here's one of them. The roof fell in. But they're just trying to make a way.
Right.
Trying to get a sermon in Jesus.
That's
amen.
Right.
It's okay. We put a roof on, amen.
Right.
It blows it out. We'll show up over here with some hammers, some nails, you know, now it's all cordless drills. Well, we'll do whatever we need. I mean, Brother Ed, we put the underpinning back up, about killed us. That's why we said we'd nominate two young deacons, amen. Now kill these old men, glory. But hey, listen, I want you to know, we get the roof fixed. Hey, we'll get the thing fixed. Don't worry about it. You get them, have roof falls in, we'll fix it, glory
amen.
To God.
Right.
Hey, listen, they broke that roof up and they let him down.
Yeah.
Upon the bed that he's laying on.
Yeah.
And the whole goal of this thing was to get this man to Jesus.
Yeah.
That never give up bunch. These men were determined to get their friend to Jesus. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30.
Yeah.
They sized this thing up, Bonnie. And they looked this way. They looked that way. Finally looked up and said, we get him into the roof. I know that's determination.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They said, well, just, I mean, it's either that big a hole come in from the bottom, but they decided they'd come down to the top, amen? But here, they were determined to get this man to Jesus. They wanted him to hear the words of Jesus. You hear verse 2? He preached the word unto them. They wanted to get him, Brother Ed, into the preaching of the word of God.
Yes, Lord.
Now I'm going to stop here just a minute. Go back in archives of my mind. God spoke this to me this morning. I got saved April 27th, 1988. And y'all met Sandra Ford. She'd been here before.
Yeah.
That's the woman I gave down the road.
Yeah.
You know, I told her husband, I said, you're going to be end up going to church with your wife. You ain't going to be able to go fish with me no more on Sunday. Ain't going to be able to drink beer with me no more. She'll have you in church. Won't be long. And my cousin said, Eddie, if you don't get something, she's going to get baptized 2 weeks from now. And I laughed at that. I said, they'll have you down there baptizing you. And I said some things I'll never repeat again. Thank God for mercy. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually, kind of like Saul, I mean, I was threatening God. Intervene in my life, but thank God he's merciful, kind, and gracious, amen.
Yes, Lord.
My cousin, he said, Eddie, they're going to baptize her in 2 weeks. Make a long story short, I was the next one lying behind her when she got baptized. God had a little humor in this thing, but I'm going to get off of Eddie. Well, when Eddie, you know, after I got baptized, his wife came to me. She said, Eddie, you're the only hope I've got of my husband getting saved. She said, I want you to talk to him about Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, old Brother Eddie wasn't the Bible quote preacher that he is right now. I didn't know enough Bible to blow my nose. But several, she came to me and she said, I want you to talk to my husband. You can get through to him. Now, Ronnie, first thing I did, I prayed. I said, Lord, you help me. Help me know what to say. Help me know what to do.
Yeah,
and I went to my cousin Barry. And he's as rough as I was. I mean, went to the kind, I'm telling you. He knew me and I knew him, Brother Patrick. And I went to him and I said, Barry, you know I love you, don't you? And he said, yeah, I know you love me. I said, Barry, you know I'd do anything in the world for you, don't you? Yeah, I know you will. Well, I said, Barry, there's one thing I want you to do that I can't do for you. I want you to get saved. Mm-hmm. And to my amazement, Barry said, okay, I will. And I thought, man, it's got a deal, amen. He went to church that Sunday with his wife. And I couldn't wait to get home from our church service. And I called him. I said, did you get saved? Kind of like me asking Patrick if they got in their house. I mean, just want to hear it. Yeah. But he said, no, I didn't get saved. I said, well, you keep going. And I want you to get saved. He said, I will. Brother James, he went about 3 Sundays. And I'm calling every Sunday. Did you get saved? He said, no. And I done something. I don't know if I should have did it or not. I took it just a little further. I took the roof off, Ronnie. I said, Barry, I want you to go to church with me this Sunday.
Yeah.
Barry, he said, I'll do it. I couldn't believe it. You ever try to get somebody to go to church? They give you every kind of excuse on the Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
He said, I'll do it.
That's right.
He showed up over there at Bethel Baptist Church. I run out there. I was so happy to see him. I run out there. You know what he told me, Sarah? He said, man,
I've done what you told me. Now I want you to do something for me. And I'm sitting there thinking, uh-oh, this don't sound good. He said, if God wants to save me, he said, I want God to save me. I don't want you saying nothing to me. I don't want nobody coming pulling on my arm. I don't want somebody coming telling me anything. He said, if God wants to save me, I want God to do it, nobody else. Now, I want you to know my expectation went to the floor. Now, he told me not to say nothing.
Yeah.
That's pretty hard for me. Y'all know me enough to know I talk the best of them. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, we went there and sat down, Jerry. And I sat down right beside my cousin Barry. And I never heard my pastor preach so good in all my life. I wanted to just say he did so good. I mean, goodness. Boy, I mean, he plowed it good. And it got done, Bonnie. And just like it did with me, they sang it just as I am. I'm over. I mean, in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, save Barry, save Barry. I told him I wouldn't say nothing. So I'm not saying that aloud. I'm just saying in my heart, Lord, save Barry, save Barry, save Barry. Lord, he's here. Save him, Lord, while he's here. Don't let him leave. Lord, save Barry, save Barry, save Barry. And they're singing the last stanza just as I am. It's over. And I'm still praying. Lord, save Barry, save Barry, save Barry. My pastor, he got pretty good discernment, Brother Ed. He said, is there anybody in here? Wait a minute. I'm leaving part of it out. Pretty good part too. The piano player there, Joyce Gosser. I've never heard her in my entire life give but one testimony. And lo and behold, this was it. She raised her hand. She said, before we're dismissed, Brother Rick, can I give a testimony? Wow. Joyce had never spoke. I didn't know she could. Rick said, go ahead, Sister Joyce. She said, my neighbor had a heart attack, said they found him in the house, said they was able to bring him back to life, took him to the hospital. Said a preacher come out there and had a prayer with him and told him, he said, you know, God had mercy on you, allowed you to live. He said, you ought to get saved. And that man said, he said, you pray for me that God allow me to get out of this hospital and get back home, and I'll come to church that Sunday and give my heart to Jesus. Boy, preacher, he couldn't wait to pray, James. I like him kind of prayer myself. I pray him in heartbeat. Lord, grant it. Lord, let this man live long enough to get home and get to church and get saved. Brother Mitchell, God ain't expect to pray. He got right out.
Amen.
That Sunday, buddy, went by and he didn't show up. Now, Joyce is telling this. It's her neighbor. She said he didn't show up. So that preacher showed up the next day. He said, I thought you said he was going to come to church, give your heart to Jesus. He said, I will this Sunday. Joyce said, I saw the ambulance back up to his porch, and this time they didn't have the lights on. She said they carried him out of corpse. He didn't get that other chance.
All right.
Now, when Joyce gave that testimony, my pastor, I told you, he's a man of great discernment. He said, I'd like to ask everybody's head to be bowed real quick. And I'm still over. Lord, save Barry. Lord, save Barry. Save Barry. Save Barry. Lord, save Barry. I'm telling you, I'm about as deep into this thing as I can be. My pastor said, is there anybody here that would raise your hand right now that we would sing one more verse of invitation on him? Now, I've got my eyes closed, Sarah. I've got my head down. And I heard my pastor say, thank God for that hand. And I opened my eyes, and my cousin was headed to the altar. And I was right behind him, Brother James. And he knelt down on that altar. And I couldn't say a word now. Crying so much I can't even get a word out. I just broke, had my hand on his back. And I was just thanking the Lord for what had already happened. Yeah, you know, him on the altar. And I said, Lord, save Barry, save Barry, save Barry. Barry got saved that Sunday. He didn't live long after that neither. But Barry got saved that Sunday morning. And, I mean, I'm in jubilee as jubilee can get. We went outside, Brother Ed, and I said, Barry, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. You know what Barry told me? He said, I don't know what happened. He said, all I had on my mind was a cigarette. He said, well, how am I here with it? You know, I'm just glad that God can do things like that. He said, I didn't want to raise my hand. I don't know how in the world my hand got it out. But you know what? He got to ask me a lot of questions. about the Bible. I had about, I don't know, 5 years there. He couldn't read. Barry, he's extremely smart with common sense, but he couldn't read or write. It was so bad one time we was up at Danville, Kentucky. He said, "You want to go get something to eat?" I said, "Yeah, let's go." And Patrick, we showed up over this place, and I looked up at the sign, and it said skis and skates. And I thought, "What?" He said, "Be all right, come on." We went in, there's skis and skates hanging everywhere. And he said, "Where's your steaks at?" I thought, "Oh my." But you see, he couldn't help it. He couldn't read. His father died when he was young, and he had to go out and work because they starved him to death. I wish Judy was here this morning, because he just lived right down the hill from Judy. But, you know, they didn't get a chance, him or his brother Steve, both of them done graduated this life. Yeah, but I want you to know, these guys wanting to get this one to Jesus.
Yeah.
And even though it was hard, they was determined to get him to Jesus. And you know what? You know, Barry, he got saved. I got to answer his questions. He learned a lot of Bible. I saw him witnessing the people. I saw him praying. Just praise God that God can save someone in a predicament that he was in. That God can save someone here that's, you know, on this bed. He can't help himself. And you know what? They never gave up. And they were determined. And you know what? They wanted him to hear the words of Jesus. And here's what the words were, son. Your sins are forgiven you. Verse 5, you see that?
Amen.
You know, you got to get them there before they can be saved, before they can hear the word. But if that's not bad enough, verse 6 and 7, you got the naysayers. You know what the naysayers are, don't you? Well, God didn't save me like that.
Yeah.
I don't believe God can save someone letting them down through the roof. The naysayers, that just means somebody ain't happy
right.
that somebody got saved. I know the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, over 99 just persons that need no repentance.
Right.
But these guys, they weren't happy. They had indignation. They had spite. Somebody gets saved. I seen a guy get saved one time, and you know he wasn't as orthodox as we liked for him to be. Got up and said, "Yabba-dabba-doo." I mean, be honest with you, he's praising God. He didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't know what to act. I've done it all.
Amen.
Yabba-dabba-doo. He was just happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to look over.
Yeah,
that's right.
But these naysayers, they said Jesus couldn't save him. Well, he done it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
My pastor was telling about a young lady who got saved over at Bethel Baptist Church, Sharon. She's so happy. She went to work the next day. Brandon, she said, "I got saved." You know what they told her? They said, "You can't be saved. You've been married before." She came out there at Brother Rick's house out there. She was crying, knocking on the door. And he said, "What's the matter?" She said, "They said I can't be saved. I've been married before." He took it. Bible, he said such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed by the blood.
That's right.
Hey, I wasn't no pedigree, I was a hell-deserving sinner.
That's right.
I'm glad, praise God, Jesus said he'd come up under me. He'd throw that right, Brother Eddie.
Oh, my.
I don't know why it's turning away, but you got these naysayers. They don't believe God can save certain people.
Yeah, that's right.
God help us get the mold out of our eye and understand
Jesus Christ
came in this world to save sinners. Paul said it. He said he's chiefest of sinners. God save the chiefest of sinners. He can save common sinners like you and me. But you got these naysayers there. Hey, they said it can't be done that way. You got to be a member of their church, Brother Jerry. Their match only strikes on their block, you know. They don't care about you getting somebody saved here. They just want to know about what's going on there. I was listening this morning to a boy. You know, I get up early, and the girls had the family room full of, in their birthday party for the granddaughter. She turned 20 today, and they took over my study, my quiet place where I go in there, you know, and pray and seek the Lord. So I done my praying and seeking back there by the computer, and finally I got done turning the computer on. That's why I found out about this movie called the Sound of Freedom.
And I got interested in it. I went a little further. And finally I got up on this one with this guy. He was a Mormon missionary, raised to be a Mormon. And he ended up going down to Florida. They got like 2 years. They got, you know, to be saved, you got to do it the Mormon way. So he went down for 2 years down there to try to convince people, you know, they need to be Mormons. And he ran into somebody who's really saved. He said, I couldn't believe it. This guy's really saved. He said, got me saved. He said, my family, they didn't like it. They didn't want it. But I got saved. I couldn't get myself unsaved. He said, I'm saved. Hey. He said, I left Florida and went up there to Utah and tried to reason with them. He said, he quoted that scripture there out of Romans chapter 10. Paul talking about my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I'm telling you, he went up there and he said, y'all are wrong. You need to get right. You need to get saved. Amen.
Amen.
You see, it's got to be their way or the highway. These naysayers here, They just couldn't see someone like Jesus forgiving sins. Listen, if Jesus don't forgive your sin, you're still in your sin, buddy. There's no other name, Acts 4:12. There's no other way, John 14:6. I don't care if you like it or not, buddy. He's the door to heaven. I'm telling you right now, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to give to Jesus. You're going to have to tell him you're a sinner. You're going to have to ask him to forgive your sins and save your soul, or you're not going to heaven.
Right.
Hey! Tell you that my salvation is Jesus Christ, glory to God. These naysayers, they probably gave you a hard way to go. They probably said you didn't pray long enough. You didn't cry enough tears. You didn't act right after you got saved. I wish I could act right, Brother Jerry. I mess up about every day. Paul said, the thing I would do, he said, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, I do. He said, God forbid. He said, who should deliver me from this body of death? This is in Romans chapter 7. He said, I thank God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, he can deliver you. You may not do right. You may not act right. You may not line up to the scrutiny of this world. But I promise you this. You can satisfy God.
That's right.
He that hath the Son has life.
Mm-hmm.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm glad I got the Son. Amen. I'm glad, praise God. This naysaying bunch right here, this nonsense bunch, it ended up there, verse number 12. Brother Ed, they said, we never saw it.
Yeah.
On this fashion. I like it when it's like that.
Too.
I like it, praise God, when God does something, you know, it's got his endorsement on it.
Yeah.
Me and Brother Ed went out there. And see the house out there and they come out there speaking in tongues. And he's telling us how to load this brush up. He said, no. Yeah, Brother Hill, I said, we may not be able to understand him, but I'm sure he's got all this under control. We got all them limbs loaded up. I finally got them all burned. But that tickled me death. Little Tatum come out there and he was saying, No. Well, sometimes it's like that, sometimes too.
Yeah.
You may not understand.
Bless him, Lord.
You may not be able to explain it.
Right.
God's in it.
Right.
I'm okay with it, says Bonnie.
Yeah.
I like to see it on that fashion.
Yeah.
I like to see God show us a thing or two.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo! Boy, if I could just get out of the way. Don't tell me what he could do. Amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we get in the way.
Yes, we do.
Old song says, I'm in the way, the bright shining way. I'm in the glory land way. How's it going, Brother Ed? Or Brother Jerry? Sing it. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clear for. I'm in the glory land way. Thank y'all for helping me. I just had a little bit of thought on that. I didn't have a better words to go with it. Amen. Oh my. Let me throw this at her real quick and we'll be done. They said they never saw it on that fashion. but they end up glorifying God. Naaman was a leper in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1, but he had a little maid. I don't know if she was the size of Lucy or the size of Thomas or Tatum. That little maid said, "Would to God my master was in Jerusalem, he could get cleansed." Boy, you talking about catching somebody's ear. I hope Brother Eddie might have said something about that Naaman. He wouldn't pay no attention. This little maid said something to Naaman. But he caught ear to that and he said, "Hey, I'm interested."
Yeah.
And the boy, he got dressed up and he headed on over there and he showed up. And the Bible says in verse number 9, when he showed up, he didn't like the message. The word, a messenger come out there and said, "Go wash in the River Jordan, be clean." He said, got mad.
Yeah.
He didn't like the river. He didn't like the message. He didn't like the fact they didn't come out, lay hands on him, call upon his God. I'm just telling you, sometimes God does things His way.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
I've yet to be able to understand God, Brother Mitchell. Sometimes when I think God will do something some way, He shows me why He's God. Because if He'd done it my way, it'd been a mess. The little Naaman, after he had that little hissy fit, and like Bonnie said there, you know, he was mad, but he went on down there, and he was a doer, not a hearer only of the Word of God. James says, James 1:22, and verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 5, he was cleansed.
Yes.
His flesh become as the flesh of a little child. Bringing people to Jesus. That's something we need to not grow weary in doing. That's something we need to be better at.
Amen.
I've been trying to get Brenda, get Becky to come with her, and I ain't letting up neither. I'm trying to get Donnie to bring his daughter Chelsea and those two granddaughters, Adeline and Rosalie Faith. I'll tell you, don't let me know about it because I'll be wearing them out, amen. But I'm not giving up. I'm praying, Lord, help them to come. I pray when they come, they'll find that which is missing in their life, what they need in their life. You know, I'm saved, but there's times I need to be right where I'm at. And sometimes you need to be right where God's got you at. For, you know, the things of God, they're hard to understand, but I've been places for it. I got something I needed that I didn't know I was there because of the providence of God. Got what I got and left there realizing God had met my need. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. Help us get people. Bring them to God. Lord, we thank you for the thought this morning. Thank you for the message. Thank you for all the memories, Lord, you brought back to mind. Thank you for these people singing with me, Lord, about the Glory Land Way. Oh, Lord, till you come for us, help us, I pray, to stay busy inviting people and compelling them to come in that your house may be filled. Help our members, Lord, to get up. I don't know, arrange your life where they could be here. I pray for them to be here. Lord, one of my fears is one of these Sundays you're going to show up. Going to be a lot of empty seats. And Lord, I pray for them, Father, and make a habit of being here. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for what we felt here today, for what you did here today. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, everybody stand. Get Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon, if she wants to help, just sing a verse of invitation on him. You may not need to do nothing, and that's okay. But if you do need to do something, we'll give you the opportunity here to do it. I know sometimes.